Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, the Thessalonian church. It was really in a city, it's at the crossroads, much like Charleston, Somerville area. Traffic and commerce going in and out. It was on the Roman road, so a very prominent place. And Paul, after God had gotten a hold of his heart, after he met Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus came upon his life, Paul went to Thessalonica and he started to preach the gospel. He started to tell other people about Jesus. And the message grew and people came together and they started the church. And as we know, the message that was shared in Thessalonica is shared here today and it's shared around the world. This morning, I draw your attention to a question I like to answer. Why God chose you? Why God chose you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given of the Holy Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Believers are elected and chosen by God to be his beloved people. They're also elected and chosen by God to love one another. I need some help. I'd like to ask two people that I got a lot of respect for to come and help me here, maybe to illustrate what it means to be chosen by God for an assignment. Would Mike Eade and Megan Morgan come here and stand here beside me? And let's get this microphone turned on, Jay, if we could. And Lee, you got it. Okay, now you guys, you're on the same team, but you're opposing team. You know how like when we play, getting ready to play baseball and so on, and you pick up sides, and you get to choose who you want on your team, you get to choose who you want on your team, and so on. So if I'm the umpire, or I'm the coach, and I was to say to you that on your team, you need to have, we're going to pick four people apiece from in the congregation this morning. We're going to pick four people apiece. These people need to be folks that, one, you know they love the Lord. God chose them to love them, and they've accepted that choice, and they love God back. And two, they love other people and share God with other people, not just in what they say, but in how they live. Ladies first. We're going to ask you, Megan, if looking out in this, you're sitting here, and I'll tell you what, you're sitting here like this. Will I get chosen? Will I get chosen? And will they call my name? And that's what it's like, you know, when we're getting ready to choose up sides to be on a team. Those kinds of thoughts go through our mind. But this, the power of being chosen. Megan, first of all, who would you like to have on your team? You know that they love the Lord and they love the other people and tell the other people about God's love. Who would you say? Is anybody in the church?
Miss Darlene.
Darlene, come up here and stand beside her. Okay, Mike, you're next. Who would you say that you know they love the Lord and they love others? It's just evident. They just do love.
I pick Kevin.
Kevin, all right. Megan, who else would you say in the church that you see here this morning? You see, they love the Lord and they love other people.
Mr. Bill Carter.
Bill Carter. Okay, Bill, you're on this team. Michael, they love the Lord and they love other people. It's just evident in the way they do it.
Judy Carter.
Judy Carter. Oh, okay. All right. Teams are growing. Okay, Megan. You know, they love the Lord and they love others. It's just easy. You just see it.
Okay, my dad.
Your dad. All right. Are you buying her lunch? Is that the deal?
No.
Yeah, okay. All right. You look at them, you just know they love the Lord and they love others. It's just easy. You want them on your team, you know. You choose them.
Steve Griffin.
Steve Griffin. Okay. Steve, come on up. Megan.
Miss
Miss Susan. She loves the Lord and she loves others. You want her on your team? Okay. All right. Here we go, Mike. You're making the last choice this morning.
I'll take Kim.
Kim, okay. Now, you've just a snapshot right here this morning. There's 8 people here that have been chosen. Because one, these 2 individuals look at your life, and it's obvious to them you love the Lord and the Lord loves you. You said yes to Jesus. But they also chose you because they said, not only did you say yes to Jesus, but you said yes to the assignment that God gave, that you love others. Those that are easy to love, and those that are EGRs. As we talked about last Sunday, everybody remember what EGR was? Extra grace required. And you also love those that haven't ever met Jesus. Now, we could keep going and choosing. And I would hope that as we chose, we would that everybody in here would understand. Thank you. How about a hand for these? They can be seated. And a special hand for the 2 coaches. Each of us, we don't have to sit there and wonder, will my name be called? God's called your name. He has said by going to Calvary, I choose you. You may be unchoosable. You may be unlikable. We're definitely unworthy. I'm unworthy. Probably the most unworthy of them all. But he said, I choose you. And as he chooses us, he chooses us to be his beloved people. That means that we live for him. If not, why not? God's given us just 2 assignments as his chosen people. To love him and live for him, and to share his love with others. And if we don't do either one of those, or both, if not, why not? Why did God choose you? I would say it's because you needed to be chosen. Each of us need to be chosen. We couldn't make it to heaven. We couldn't spend eternity with Jesus if he didn't first choose us. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You might think, oh man, that's way out there pie in the sky by and by. No, it's just a sure and certain fact. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we will spend eternity wherever we spend eternity, in heaven or hell, based on what we did with Jesus. He chose you to love you. Will you choose to love him back and live for him? He's called us also into a world that needs to be loved by him, that needs to see his love. And as they need to see his love, they see lives that have been turned from sin. You saw lived out this morning, just exampled this morning, transform lives. There was 10 transform lives, and hopefully with me, 11 transforming lives that you saw in front of you. We weren't worthy to be chosen. We were like that kid sitting there, man, I hope they choose me. You know, it's like, I don't know if you played those games and or tag you're it and so on, and you're the last one chosen or the next one, last one chosen. And someone might say, oh, we don't want them. But the coach says, come on, Tommy, we want you on our team. Come on, Sally, we want you on our team. Oh, we'll take him. Guess what? Jesus says, I'll take you. I'll take you. Because I don't want Satan to have you. See, that same kind of competition's going on over every one of our souls. The Savior is in competition against Satan, choosing your soul, and they both have said, I want you. Whose side will you be on? Will you be on the side of Jesus? Give your life to him, accept his invitation to live in you and that you live for him? Or will you turn your back on him and say, I'm going to do things my own way? Hey, Satan, I'll choose you. I'll do the things of the world. I'll be happy-go-lucky. I can come back to God anytime. No, we can't. Because none of us is promised our next breath. It's not a game. It's life and death. He chose us. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord has appeared old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore loving kindness I have drawn thee. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Romans 5:8, for God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, when we were unchoosable, Christ died for us. He's called us to be separated unto himself, set apart from the world, not living by their standards and their norms that would say anything's okay, but by living with a set of standards that God says, this is what it means to be on my team. Being on certain teams, This just came to me, a thought. Like some teams in the major leagues have different kind of standards than others. The New York Yankees, great team, particularly this year. While court's in session with the judge. They have a rule that the Steinbrenners put in, no facial hair. You can be playing for anybody and everybody else, and you get traded to the Yankees, you got to immediately shave. If they wanted to choose me, I'd have to shave. And I've had this mustache since I was about 16, and had the facial hair since I was about 23. I'd have to shave to be a Yankee. Now, you can go play for the Boston Red Sox, and you can grow your beard down to your ankles. As long as you can hit the ball and play, they don't care. And when they're playing the Yankees, if you can get the hit that wins the game, they'll love you. And they'll sign you to an extension. Two major league teams, totally different standard on that one particular issue. Come back here. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll give your life to me and live for me. You, when you're faced with a situation and you don't know what to do, you'll stop and basically ask the question, Jesus, what would you do? What would you have me do? He's chosen you. Will you choose him? You see, the ones that chose this morning invited the ones to come up, and I didn't say it, but you know, you could have been chosen and said, no, thank you. I can remember years ago, I've shared this illustration before, but I'll just briefly share it again. Years ago, I called on somebody to pray on Sunday morning service. And they used to kid about, you know, Pastor B's calling on to pray the big prayer, and I called on this one guy to pray. And there was silence for a little bit, and then all of a sudden he says, no, thank you very much. Boy, the no, thank you very much, you could just hear it like a pin drop. I quickly called on somebody else, and they prayed, and we went on with the rest of the service. We can choose to say no, but there's consequences that happen when we say no. You see, in Ephesus, in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, it says, but God, too, is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and even while we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together in Christ Jesus. Believers are also elected and chosen to be beloved brothers and sisters. Really? We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to have, if you got the vertical relationship right, it helps you to get the horizontal right. You can't get the horizontal right if you don't have the vertical right. But if the horizontal's not right, don't tell me that the vertical's right. It says, you will know they are Christians by their love. So if a person says that they're a Christian and they don't love someone else, they don't treat them with respect, they treat them with contempt, they get mad at them and climb all over them, I really have to question, is this relationship where it ought to be? Because if this relationship was where it ought to be, you wouldn't be trying to be Lord over these relationships, and you wouldn't try to have everybody do things your way, and you wouldn't come across as the authority, because you see, Jesus is the authority. It's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. It's not you and me. Bill Greathouse, retired general superintendent, had the definition of sin as little s, big I in the middle, little n. And he described it this way, that every one of us has a throne in our heart. Who's sitting on the throne in your heart? If it's you, you're living in sin if you're calling the shots in your life. And if you're trying to call the shots in other people's lives. But if Jesus is on the throne in our heart, we're loving them the way that he loved us. We're cutting them some slack. We're praying for them. We're trying to pick them up rather than put them down. The Bible and God's love are the only standards. They don't need the appendix of what you or I might put in the back. You know, it's not the gospel according to Mike. It's not the gospel according to Lynn. It's not the gospel according to Judy. You know, that chapter's just not in that book. We need to leave our gospel out of it and dwell on his gospel, as his gospel consumes us. His love consumes us, then he flows out of us. Goodness in, goodness out. Garbage in, garbage out. We've been called, secondly, to be his beloved disciples, that we would love one another. We would protect them and value them. Now, Mike, the people that were on your team over here, you would do what you could to make sure that these people continue to be successful, wouldn't you? Megan, you would try to encourage them and keep them going at it. And if there came a time in which they might be struggling with trying to love God or love someone else, you would come up to them and say, hey, you know, let me help you with this, wouldn't you? See, that's part of the coach's role. That's part of the teammate's role. And we're all on the same team. His team. He's the coach. He's chosen, and the word elect here in Greek, if this passage has been misconstrued by a lot of different denominations, but it basically boils down to the fact that God chose us, each of us. But for it to be a relationship, there's a second part of a choice that needs to be made. We must choose him as well. When he chooses us and we choose him, a relationship happens as he comes to live in our life and lead in our life and love through our life. But he can choose us, which he does. But he gives you the freedom to choose whether you want to live life with the Savior or with Satan. Whether you want to be on the Savior's team or Satan's team. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you'd love one another as I've loved you, that you'd also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. In Romans 12, 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Kind words, tender deeds, a shared tear, a hug, a handshake, and sometimes just looking at them and holding them hand keeps my brother and sister from falling. You see, we have no idea. Let's get real here. We have no idea what each other's going through, what each other's facing. Somebody could be facing literally life and death situation, and they don't know what to do. Now, some people, when they face something like that, you know, or whatever they face, they might smile and laugh it off. Others will cry. Others will get mean and push folks away. And quite often, the person that's being mean and blistering to other folks, they're going through something, and they don't quite know how to handle it, and so what they're doing is pushing people away. That's the appendix of the chapter that they put in the back of the Bible. The way that I respond to the gospel is when I'm hurting, I push people away, you know. It wouldn't help that I don't know anything wrong that Terry's done. I love Terry. Such a compassionate guy, and Mr. Fix-It, and cares about our military personnel and their families like he and Sandy, like no one else I know. But let's say that Terry didn't take someone to McAllister's when I thought he should have. I know they like to eat at McAllister's. Well, first of all, what's it my business of who he takes to lunch? You know, it's not. But maybe that week, they've gone through, I know they've had joys in their life, but they've had heartache. And pray for Terry and Sandy. They're getting ready to be double grandparents here within about 60 days. It could be that one time that he didn't take someone to McAllister's for lunch that I thought he ought to, that was a week in which he was facing a challenge that was just overwhelming and he didn't know what to do and I didn't know anything about it. And if I come up to him and say, why didn't you take him to McAllister's? First of all, what business is it of mine? And second, I ought to be embracing him and loving him rather than ripping him. God, forgive me. Thank you for what you do, Terry. See, Paul came into, you say, man, this is blistering, but you understand, let's turn the chapters in Thessalonica, in the letter to the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonians, when it was at the crossroads and the gospel was going to go out of there. That church at Thessalonians was hearing what God said through Paul in the temple. And after a little while, they said, boy, we can't handle this truth. We can't handle what this guy's saying. And so they kicked him out of church. You know what he did? He just stood on the corners. And he continued to preach the gospel and live the gospel. Some of the church folk came around. Others didn't. But did God's word die? No. Did God's word stop going to the world? No. Did the church suffer? Yes. You see, when the church ceases to be one who realizes that we've been loved and we've been chosen by God to accept his love and we've been chosen with a mission, you have one mission and that's to love others as he's first loved you. When we don't fulfill that mission, we die on the vine. The church is one generation away from extinction. We have next door neighbors that we love very dearly, and I shared with you our witnessing to them, and they came over, the husband came over to have me talk with him and pray with him last week, or a few weeks ago. I called and talked to him yesterday and said, hey, would you guys watch our house while we're going to camp meeting? Sure. And they said, Mike, it's been just a real tough week. In the last 3 weeks, they've had 3 funerals of friends and family members. And this was the wife that was talking to me. And as she was sharing with me, she says, we just don't quite know what to do. Would you pray for us? Oh, Lorraine, you know we'll pray for you. And Susan and I are here for you. See, the world around us is hurting. And they need to know that there's help and hope. In the world in which most people aren't cared for, they need to know that someone cares. That's the assignment that he gave to the church at Thessalonica. That's the assignment that God's given to us, his beloved. We're his beloved because he chose to come and live within us, to love us. And he says, all I want you to do is to pass it on. Oh, that we could be the kind of church. Oh, that we could be the kind of children of God who would accept his love and realize, hey, I'm one of the king's kids. I'm a part of his family. I got chosen. But I got chosen for a mission. And that mission is to go take the world for Jesus by sharing his love with them. And sometimes we do it by what we say. Most of the times we do it by how we live. It's not preach me a sermon, it's live me a sermon. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. We can be chosen by God. We can be a part of his family. We can be in the family, but not of the family. We can be in the church, but not of Christ. We can be blinded to our sins by, first of all, not acting like and not accepting the love that he extends to us. He says to you, I love you. I went to Calvary for you. I have died that you might live. I'm willing to take my sin, your sins upon me. He who was out without sin became sin itself. Paid the price for us. And we cannot accept that. That's sad. That's really sad. But here we pray for that one. We intercede for that one. Lord, give us the right words at the right time in the right spirit. You know, there's a Bible in my iPhone. Folks don't need us hitting them over the head with a Bible. They need us hugging them like Jesus hugged them. The second aspect of it, what really is a shame is when we mistreat God's children. Here's a very specific scripture. It says, don't mess with God's anointed. When you mess with God's anointed, God's going to get you. He is. Guess what? Preachers are not the only ones who are God's anointed. God's ministers are his anointed. God's children are his anointed. God's chosen are his anointed. Anyone that Jesus went to Calvary for, it's one that's a part of his anointed and part of who he chose. And we're supposed to love them. We're not to be critical or divisive. We're not to be prideful or arrogant. We're not to be angry or hurtful. We're not to be envious or prejudiced. We're not to act superior or to come across as super spiritual or a super sanctified saint. You know, God didn't die and leave you or me in charge. These two coaches here this morning, they're not in charge. They have a responsibility. We each have a responsibility, don't we? In 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore I endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Remember the second part of the question that I asked the coaches in the that you know they love God and they love others. That's our assignment, is to go and love others. And we start right here. We love one another. I come back to it as a kid growing up in church, and Sunday night after church and Wednesday night after church when I was a kid, we played tag. There was always a place that was home base. And you'd be running around, you'd get tired, and if you could get by the person that was it, you know, and come and put your hand on home base, they couldn't get you, you could catch your breath. Church really is like home base. This is a place we come to catch our breath. Satan, you can't get me here. That's the way it ought to be. Satan, you're not welcome in this place. We claim the power of the blood of Jesus. Get out of here. Because we need a home base that's safe. There ought to be some places in our lives, and I'd say church, and when you're in time in God's word and when you're on his knees, your knees, those ought to be places that Satan can't get to you. But you know the sad thing is, without realizing it, we let him creep in. We quit praying like we ought to. we quit spending time in God's Word like we should. We stay out of church. Or we come to church and we've brought so much of the world with us that we can't focus on Him. This is home base. Oh. This is the dugout. A lot of great things happen in the dugout. A lot of fellowship. Realizing you're on the same team and you're watching the events of what's going on, and everyone there, you know, that it comes time that sooner or later somebody's going to get up to bat, and we're supposed to be the cheering session. John's up to bat. Oh, man, John, you can hit it. You can do it. You can do it. Susan, you're in the on-deck circle. You take a swing. You're going to get him over on. And then I know Sherry's going to come on. You can clear the bases and bring him home. We'll get ahead of the other team. Hey, Tracy, there's a soul there that needs loving, and I know that you're going to witness to him. And Aretha, you're going to pray for her as you do it. And then Bob's going to be the one, he didn't know anything about it, but he wound up meeting them in Walmart the other day, and he told them about where he went to church, and said, hey, that's the same place as Aretha and Tracy, and I think I'll go there, and that person comes, and they find God. We're all on the same team. It's really neat being in the dugout. Welcome to the dugout. I just think that there might be several others who'd like to come and join me here this morning. And let's just pray and ask God to help us. To help us be ones that realize that, you know, He chose us. He chose you. Believe it or not, He chose you. He says, you're of value. I want you on my team. I want you to love me and live for me. But I want you to love others and well and let them know. Let them know the difference He's made in your life. He can make in their lives too. Let them know how He helped you handle situations that you didn't know how to handle yourself. And if He helped you, He loves them just as much, He'll help them too. Stand together with me. And anybody and everybody that'd like to come and just pray this morning, I imagine most all of us would. Come and let's just have a closing season of prayer, asking God to speak to us, speak through us. I'm going to ask Bill Carter if he would to make his way to the podium and lead us in a closing prayer. Pastor Susan, is there a song that we can sing as we prepare to come forward? I don't know, a chorus. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, or all mine, God, or. Lord, I thank you for the fact that I'm on your team. You're thankful for that. Come forward. Lord, I'm on your team. You loved me when I was unlovable. You just want to come forward and thank Him that He loved you, that He chose you. Come forward. But you got other folks around you that you need to love, and Lord, I need your help to love them. I need your help to be what they need. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to hear me. They just need to see Jesus lived out in me. And you want God's help and guidance this morning. Would you come forward? Let's sing that again. I think there's others that you want to come and pray. You can sit on the front seats. You can kneel. Answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Lord, as we come to this morning, we think of the song, How Great Thou Art. Lord, we thank you for loving us.
Yes.
Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Your amazing grace.
Wow.
So undeserving. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you, as the pastor has said in his sermon this morning, to help each and every one to be able to show others who you are and what you can do for us and what you do for us on a daily basis through the life that we live, because that is our testimony.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's
Jesus.
What we want others to see. Oh, we want others to see you through us. Lord, help us in that. And life is not fair sometimes. And there's situations, Lord, that we need extra help in. And we know that you're there. That all we got to do is call on your name and say, Jesus.
Yes.
And you're there. You give us that strength and you give us that help and that determination to deal with those insurmountable times that we can, seems like there's no answer. But we know what the answer is, and that is you, Lord. Thank you. Go with each one of us, Lord. Help us and give us the strength to daily live for you and to show love to others. And everything we do, Lord, we're going to give you the praise and honor and glory. In your most holy name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You take the name of Jesus with you.